Howdy, howdy. It's Ann McCormick, the Herb and Cowgirl, and I'm here just looking forward to spending an hour chatting with you about herbs. I started off my day out in the herb garden. It was still not quite hot before 10 o'clock this morning, so I managed to get out there and do a few things that needed to be taken care of. And while I was out there, I made some notes of a few things that I thought I would suggest to you as this time of year in your garden. So let's just mentally walk into our garden and talk about a few things that could be done there. First of all, now that we're really and truly in the hot weather, lay off any of the fertilizer. You don't want to be encouraging heavy growth at this time. You don't want to be pushing new leaves out. Most of your plants are going to go into almost a dormant state. They're kind of waiting for the temperatures to cool down now. They're trying to survive and just, you know, manage, keep the status quo. So a fertilizer is not really going to be a good thing at this time. So that's one thing. Just give it the fertilizer a rest. However, you do have to keep a watch out for fungus and spider mites. Because we're in Texas, we deal with humidity all periods of the year. Now, I know the humidity recently, a couple of days I've noticed it's been down to 30%, something along those lines, but then it'll zip back up. And I think tomorrow we're even considering the possibility of thunderstorms tomorrow. So I'm sure the humidity's moving its way back up. And with that higher humidity and the heat, fungus and spider mites will attempt to attack your plants. So keep an eye out for that. If you've never had spider mites, if you notice sort of little web-like filaments along the leaves, on the underside of the leaves, or along the stems of plants, and you don't see spiders, then it's probably the spider mites, which are tiny, tiny little things, nasty little goodies. They're the ones that make those thready, web-like structures on your plants, and they suck at the juices of your plant, and you need to do something about that. An insecticidal soap is probably your best bet. There are insecticidal soaps out on the market, but you can use a few drops of dish detergent, like, you know, the commercial dish detergent is used to wash a few things in the sink. Include that with water in a spray bottle, and you can use that as well. Now, insecticidal soap, the advantage of using that is that it is completely safe to use on things that you're going to be eating because it does not poison the insects. It kills them by suffocating them, actually. The soap creates a fine film over their the vents where they breathe from on their side, and they just can't breathe and they die. And that's how you get rid of them. So insecticidal soap is a good one. So watch out for the fungus and the spider mites in the hot summer. Now is also a great time to do a little bit of taste testing in your garden. When you're out there in the morning or in the evening, and you see the plants, and you take a leaf and taste it fresh. You'd be surprised what some of the flavors taste like, all by themselves. And you'll be able to notice the difference between one type of oregano and another type. And you will gradually educate your tongue, or educate your palate, as some people would say. And that way you'll begin to recognize the flavor, and your mind will have sort of a memory of, say, what oregano tastes like, what sweet marjoram tastes like. So then when you're in a kitchen later and you're thinking about putting together seasonings for food, you can mentally pull together different flavors, just like you can mentally pull together different colors when you're say decorating or when you're getting dressed in the morning. You know, you think, okay, this color goes with that, and you learn that by checking to see if they go together. And also you do have a memory of the colors. Well, you can also have a memory of the tastes in your garden. So do a little bit of taste testing out there. Now, even though your herbs are not growing very heavily this time of year, you can still do a little bit of harvesting or clipping to just keep them, to maintain the shape of things. If you're going to be clipping to use, clipping them in the morning is the best thing to do. In the morning, generally speaking, your herbs have had a chance to pull moisture out of the soil, and they will be at their their brightest is the best way, I guess, of putting it. And they'll have potentially the best flavor. And that's a good time just to get out and clip that. So if you know you're going to be using some herbs in the evening for the main meal, the morning, get clippers out, clip a few of them, put them in a glass of water, and just put them in the refrigerator, and they'll be just available when you get to put together your meal later. So clip herbs in the morning if you can. This is also a great time of year to shop the bargains and shop the sales in the area. See if you can find some ornamental objects to put in your garden. I've been doing that recently. There's a number of places in my area, and I'm sure yours too, that are trying to get rid of some of their summer stock in actually anticipation of fall, although I know that sounds crazy, but they have to think a season ahead. So you're going to find a lot of things on sale out there. So keep that in mind. A couple of suggestions also of some inexpensive things you can do, maybe with some things you have around the house. We had a tree that we had to chop down a couple of years ago, and we still have some of the logs from it. And I noticed that a few of them looked decorative. You know, they had an interesting shape. So I took a couple of them and I put them together with a small cast iron tray that I had for bird seed. And I've made that a little feature in my garden, just pulling a couple things I happen to have together. The logs, which are going to be fine in the garden when they get old, if they break down into the soil, that's no problem with that. Something you can also do if you have a terracotta pot that has a crack in it, or maybe a chip out of it, you can take that pot and put it on its side and actually bury the portion that has the damage into the soil. And then put some soil into there, sort of like the pot was sort of half buried. And you can put a plant in there. And especially if you have larger pots, about 8 to 10 to 12 inches large, a larger terracotta pot, that's a good way of reusing it into the ground. And then you have something that looks interesting in with your other green herbs. So a buried pot, a small fountain is a great thing to add. I did that a few years ago and was so happy that I did do that. This week, I finally replaced the one I bought about 3 years ago. They last, at least for me, they last about 2 to 3 years. And again, this time of year, you can get them on sale. So watch the sale papers. And if you can find yourself one of these small self-contained fountains, it's just a lovely thing to have in the garden. You hear a little bit of trickling water in the evening when you're sitting out there on the porch swing. I've got it just a few feet to the side of where we have the porch swing, and I just really enjoy that there. Okay, now, another thing you have to keep in mind. Remember earlier I mentioned about watch for fungus and spider mites? Well, they're not the only nasties out there trying to get after your garden. This is the time of year that the weeds are still going, and if you've got to keep on top of them. I know it's hot out there. I know it's tough. But if you can manage to get out there, say, just for only 15 minutes in the morning or in the evening if you have some extra time, that's all it takes to just get a few weeds pulled up and then a few days later. Because it's kind of like... Remember years ago there was one of the potato chips that had commercial potato chips had their theme was bet you can't eat just one. Well, with weeds, it's kind of bet you can't pull just one. You reach down and pull up one, and you'll see another one. You pull that one. Before you know it, you've got half a dozen in your hand, and you just stepped outside for a moment or two. Just a little bit of time here and there, and you'll be able to keep those under control, because weeds not only are unsightly in your garden, but they compete with your plants for the nutrients in soil, but more importantly, they compete with your plants for the water in the soil. And at this time of year, you definitely want to watch out for anything that's going to steal the water from the plants that you want to give it to. So my last suggestion really for this time of year in your garden is the watering. Water well and water deep. Water well in that you probably need about an inch a week. We're at the time of year where we're not getting as much rain, certainly as we did last year, so you need to water it about an inch a week, and then water it deep. So not just a little here, a little there, but water it so that the water really goes down. Now, of course, you also need to water yourself. When you're out there in that heat, don't go outside with some sort of water, some sort of beverage. You need that because it's amazing. You just step outside and immediately you break out in a sweat in your forehead, your arms, and other places. And you definitely need water to maintain. So definitely keep yourself properly hydrated. And actually, that's what we're going to be talking about cool beverages for the rest of the show in the next segment. I'm pleased to say we're going to have a special guest, Charlie Baden from Celestial Seasonings. He's a master blender from Celestial Seasonings. And I'm looking forward to chatting with him about iced teas from Celestial Seasonings and how to make iced teas and how to brew some from your own herbs in the garden. So stay with us. This is Ann McCormick. This is At Home with Herbs on KWRD 100.7. Come stick with us. And after the break, we'll be with the man from Celestial Seasonings. And welcome back to At Home with Herbs. This is Ann McCormick, the Urban Cowgirl, and I am delighted to have my special guest, Charlie Baden from Celestial Seasonings. Charlie, are you there?
I am here. How are you doing, Ann?
Yeah, good to hear your voice, Charlie.
Thank you. Good to hear yours.
Now, Charlie is a master blender. I think that's your title. Is that right?
Actually, senior blend master. Master blender sounds good, too.
Okay. Well, you're the man to go to when it's a question of getting it right in the blend. That's
absolutely
for sure. Tell us just a teensy bit about what it means to be a master blender at Celestial Seasonings.
Well, I've been with Celestial Seasonings pretty much since the beginning of the company, around 33 years now. And my job is to taste, evaluate, and determine the usage of all the ingredients we use in all the blends that we create at Celestial. And that is approximately 200 different ingredients and herbs, flavors and herbs.
Goodness.
So my job is to taste and deal with a little bit of a flavor variation that can occur from lot to lot and from year to year to make sure that the tea is consistent.
So you have a highly educated palate.
Yes, I have the gift of taste, and I also have the experience with all the ingredients. So those two together make a fine thing.
Yes, I understand you. I remember you saying that when we talked earlier that you've been there for over 30 years?
That's correct, 33
yes.
years.
Boy. That's a long time tasting tea.
That is a long time, yes.
Well, as I told the listeners, our theme this show is a sip of summer. And, of course, at this time of year, iced tea is on everybody's lips and tongue. And here in Texas, I suppose in Colorado possibly. You're in Colorado, right?
Yes, in Colorado.
Yeah, you're in Boulder. Here in Texas, iced tea is sort of the house beverage.
Yes.
It's a must-have in every home.
Yes.
And I thought surely you would be able to give us some tips and ideas about good ways to brew iced tea.
Well, I hope I can help. One thing that most of your listeners are probably most familiar with is the typical black iced tea.
Uh-huh.
And maybe even sweet tea down there.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that a lot of people don't quite understand is that herbal teas make a fine, refreshing iced tea also.
Okay. Now, Charlie, just to clarify, tea in the United States sometimes has come to mean of a wide range of things. The China tea, which is what we think of in terms of black tea, which is the Tei chinensis, I think that's the botanical
Camellia sinensis.
Camellia
yes.
sinensis, that's right. Thank
yep.
you.
Yep.
Which is a member of the camellia family.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ones where we get the black tea, with the green tea, the oolong tea, those sort of teas.
But absolutely.
Herbal teas are made from other plant material.
Correct.
And once upon a time, they were called tisanes, as I recall.
And they still are. They still yep. are in Europe. We actually had the opportunity to be able to use the word tea on our brand, so we're keeping with it.
Ah, okay. All right. So now back to your secrets here of how to make iced tea.
Yes. Okay. One thing I'd like to briefly go over is a lot of folks have ingredients in their herbal gardens that make up a fine cup of tea.
Good.
And most people have mint in their gardens,
mm-hmm.
and some of the more unique varieties are in the lemon flavor category, like lemon verbena or lemon myrtle or lemongrass.
Uh-huh.
All these items brew into a very, very nice tea. And if any of your listeners have those in their garden, I would recommend that they clip some of the leaves or some of the parts of the plant and dry them and actually mm-hmm. brew them and become more experienced with the flavors that can be created from
mm-hmm.
from what's in their garden.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, getting back to, you know, a more traditional way of making our herbal iced is To create it, the first thing that's very important is water, and most municipal water systems have a certain percentage of chlorine in there, and that can really affect the final product, mm-hmm. the final taste of your tea.
Yeah.
So I recommend starting off with some sort of a purified water, distilled is what we use for our testing at the company.
A distilled water or a bottled water?
Or a bottled water would be good. You know, usually those are purified to where a lot of the chlorine is not there, so it takes that away.
Mm-hmm.
What you're going to do to make a quart is you're going to start off, and I recommend our Zinger teas, Red Zinger, Tangerine Zinger. We have a lot of different flavors in that group of Zinger category.
Mm-hmm.
And start off with, for a quart, start off with 4 tea bags. And you are going to make a concentrate. So you're going to, on those 4 tea bags, you're going to pour in 2 cups of boiling water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're going to brew that for 5 to 6 minutes. And then remove the tea bags and add. And it's good to be safe and make sure that you're using some sort of a pitcher that is resistant from breakage.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Because what you're going to do is you're going to add 2 cups of cold water to that. But previous to adding the cold water after the brew, if you want to sweeten that tea first, you're welcome to put in, at your own taste level, honey or sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And then add 2 cups of cool water and put in a cup of ice and you're ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're the first thing really is that to watch to make sure that you have a quality water.
I would recommend that. Yes.
Yes. Very, very definitely.
Yes.
And then so it was 4 tea bags?
4 tea bags.
Okay.
4 tea bags. And then you're making a concentrate. So you put in, if you're making a quart, you put in 2 cups of boiling water, mm-hmm. and brew it for 4 to 6 minutes.
Okay.
Remove those tea bags.
Okay.
Squeeze the tea bags gently just to release all the flavor out of the bags.
Yeah.
Because a lot, the water saturates into the tea leaves.
Right.
And then, like I said, sweeten to taste using your preference of sweetener. And add 2 cups of cold water and then pour ice on top of that and it's all ready to go.
Okay. Now, with the 5 to 7 minutes, what happens beyond that?
And some people may want stronger tea. That's mm-hmm. the way we develop our teas is a 4 to 6 minute brew. So 4 would be a little bit weaker brew. 6 mm-hmm. or 7 would be a little stronger brew. Anything beyond that with the herbal teas, you're just going to get a stronger flavor. Now, with something from the Camellia sinensis variety of tea,
mm-hmm.
If you brew, say, green tea too long,
mm-hmm.
you're going to start getting more negative flavor characteristic out of it. So it depends on the type of tea that you're using.
Okay, yeah, because I know sometimes, definitely with black tea, and I think with green tea, I suppose, too, they can get bitter.
They can. So you don't want to have a strong brew. Normally, black tea with preparation for iced or hot is a 4 to 6, 7 minute brew time also.
Okay.
For green tea, it's I prefer, and it's better because the tea leaves are more delicate to brew, no more than 2 or 3 minutes.
Mm.
Because
uh-huh.
if you go over that with the more delicate tea leaves, you're going to start getting more negative flavor characteristics.
Really, really strong tea, yeah.
Really strong.
Yeah, okay. So that's helpful to know. So although you can leave it in the herbal tea bags in the hot water longer than 4 to 6 minutes, but probably you're going to get the majority of your flavor by the end of 6 minutes.
That's absolutely right.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, that's helpful to know. Now,
yes.
Before we get in, I had one quick question before we talk about blending your own. I wanted to ask you about the shelf life of tea. Now, yours, Celestial Seasonings, I think the majority of them are individually packaged now, aren't they?
Correct.
Yes. So that usually keeps them fresher longer. Once you open a box, if the tea bags have not been individually packaged, they're not going to be not going to hold the flavor as well.
Right. Our format is what we call a pillow tea bag,
mm-hmm.
and we recommend when you open the box that you make sure that you close the wax liner as tightly as possible. And another thing to keep in mind is to make sure you segregate it from your spice cabinet. You don't want to put tea in with say your cooking ingredients because the tea will actually absorb the volatiles of, say, if you have cloves or something like that in your cabinet. It'll start to pick up and absorb those flavors. So you want to segregate it away from those.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. I've never kept my tea with the hard spices.
Yeah,
we
have some consumers that call in that complain about their tea tasting like cloves, and they say, oh, yeah, we keep it in our spice cabinet, but we don't want to do that.
Well, there's a good tip for
that
all of us.
That is a good tip. That is a good tip. But we put a 2-year shelf life on our tea, and as long as you're closing that liner, it's going to stay fresh.
Okay, so it will last for a while. 2 years is quite a bit of time.
It is quite a bit of time.
Yeah, well, that's good. It's, well, a quality product, too. As I've said to people many times on potpourri, which, again, is another dried botanicals as a tea, the contents of tea bags.
Sure.
If it's a quality product and it's kept properly, it will last quite some time.
Yes, and we're very stringent with our quality standards. Yes.
Good. I'm certainly glad to hear that. Well, we do want to talk about blending your own, but we're just about out of time in this segment.
Okay.
Before we go on a break, did you have any other thoughts about brewing tea or how long it'll last, say, once it's brewed in the refrigerator?
For the herbal tea, we recommend that you use it within 48 hours in your fridge. It's going to start losing a little bit of its characteristic in that time. So we recommend making what you're going to use at any specific point in time and then just brewing it fresh each time.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, here in Texas in general, tea is not going to last more than 48 hours. If my gallon or two of tea that I brew lasts more than 36, I'm doing well. Especially when I'm out in the garden. I'll tell you, I do not go out there without some tea to accompany me.
Very good. It is refreshing.
Okay. Well, we'll want to bring you back after the break, Charlie, and talk about blending teas on your own. We also will be taking calls after the break if anybody's interested in asking Charlie questions about that or any other herb-related questions. Number is 1-800-949-5973. See you after the break. Welcome back to At Home with Herbs. This is Ann McCormick, the Urban Cowgirl, and I'm here chatting with Charlie Baden of Celestial Seasonings. He is an expert at blending teas, and we are going to get a chance to hear some ideas from him as to how we can blend some teas from herbs in our own garden. Welcome back, Charlie.
Thank you very much, Ann.
Yes, so what is the secret, or what are some of the secrets to putting together teas?
Yes, flavor is obviously the number one importance to me, and there are herbs out there that go very, very well together in a blend, and just the flavors marry to make a great flavor profile. One thing your listeners might have in their gardens and an herb that they might be familiar with that we use a lot at Celestial Seasonings is chamomile.
Chamomile.
Okay. Chamomile or chamomile.
Yeah.
It's one of our main ingredients in sleepy time, so and probably most of your listeners are familiar with that blend. But I suggest a nice blend of chamomile with a peppermint or a spearmint and lemongrass. Makes just three great ingredients, three great flavors, make a great flavor profile in the finished product. Something to give a try. One thing we have out here that grows wild in our Rocky Mountains is the wild rose. And at the end of the summer season, as the days get shorter, an actual fruit or a rose hip is created or grown on that, and that makes a great tea also. And even adding those rose hips to that chamomile mint lemongrass type blend would make a great fruity aspect to the mix.
Okay, so when you're thinking of putting together a tea, do you start, say, with one flavor you have in mind and think about adding things together, or how does one start?
Well, one starts with having a creative idea of what they want to create, and whether they want it to be a refreshing flavor or they want it to be a soothing flavor.
Okay.
Soothing would be more in the chamomile mint category. And you can use mint as your number one flavor ingredient, and then add other items like a lemon verbena or a lemon myrtle, like I said earlier in the show, to create a great flavor.
Now, when you put together teas, I know anybody who's looked at the ingredients list on some of the tea boxes, there is usually at least half a dozen different items in there. But someone starting out, I would think that it might get bewildering and difficult to tell how much or little they should have.
Yeah, well, there are certain ingredients that will add things, like chicory will add body to a blend.
Okay.
There are just different herbs that will create a different marrying effect with the other flavors that are in there.
Okay.
Hibiscus, we use a lot of hibiscus at Celestial Seasoning. It's basically what makes your zingers red. And that is a nice fruity, sour characteristic that many herbs go with.
Okay,
so
now,
if it's not readily available on the shelf, but I'm sure you can find it out there in your store somewhere, in your natural food store especially.
Okay.
And it's not actually the flower or the petal. It's the calyx. So after the petal falls off, there's a seed pod and a membrane around that seed pod, and that's called the calyx. So that's what creates your flavor from hibiscus.
Oh, I don't know why, but I assumed that it was the flower, and I guess not. Okay, so but now the hibiscus that some people grow in their gardens, I don't think that's the same species, is it?
It's not. We get our the hibiscus that most people have in their garden is more ornamental. And we have ours grown, we source it just or have it grown just for us in China and Thailand.
Okay. Yeah, because that's where it's native, isn't it, in Asia?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And the hibiscus grown in Thailand has a different flavor profile from the hibiscus grown in China.
Mm-hmm.
China is more sour and robust and more of a burst of flavor,
mm-hmm.
where the Thai hibiscus is more fruity. So the two together make a great combination.
Okay, so one tip is don't try to use the ornamental hibiscus you have growing in your garden.
You may not enjoy your final product,
though. That won't be what you have in mind. Okay, so start with an idea whether you want something soothing or something fruity or something of a stimulating nature.
Absolutely.
And then experiment.
I think it's good for your listeners to be creative and come up with their own ideas and experiment.
Okay.
You'll be surprised what you can come up with.
Oh, yes, I'm sure that's true. And so, let's see, we've talked about chamomile and peppermint, lemons.
Lemon verbena.
Lemon flavors, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use lemon thyme very often?
We don't use lemon thyme particularly in any of our blends.
Mm-hmm.
But we use herbs that are very close to that same flavor characteristic, like the lemon myrtle.
Okay.
And the lemon verbena, they're different variations of lemon flavors.
Okay. Okay. Before I answer my next question, I just want to remind the listeners, if you have a question for Charlie, you can call in at 800-949-5973. This is your chance to ask him these questions. And I was curious about how often you pull together new tea blends at Celestial Seasonings.
Well, right now we have approximately 110 different blends that we produce there.
Oh my.
Every year we try to introduce at least 10 to 15 different flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And our marketing department basically looks out into the category and sees what flavors are popular at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And right now the popular flavors are the high antioxidant fruits. I say the antioxidant fruits that are hard to pronounce, like pomegranate and acai berry. but they're higher in antioxidants, so they have a health benefit also with the beverage.
Okay, so you find your customers are thinking more in terms of the health benefits of the teas.
Absolutely. We have a customer base that is looking at it for the health side, obviously, yes.
That's interesting because it's really coming full circle because once upon a time, that was the point of drinking teas or tisanes,
mm-hmm.
is that they were principally medicinal.
Yes, they were.
Yeah, the chamomile, for instance, you know, as a
soothing beverage, yes.
Soothing.
Before bed beverage, yes.
Yes, and peppermint to deal with the stomach.
Correct.
Issues, of course, ginger as well.
Very much so.
Oh, yes. I think my personal favorite, I practically bathe in ginger peach tea these
Ooh,
days.
Ooh, I love it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
those two flavors go together well.
Yes, and it's a surprising one. I remember before I started drinking, I thought, oh, that sounds like an odd combination. I think I was somehow thinking of Chinese takeout combined with peach pie or something, which is not at all what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a very lovely
and like you were saying earlier, it has health benefits, good for your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So you have good flavor and good for you at the same time.
Yes, yes. Now, one of the things I think sometimes comes in the question about is sweeteners. Do you ever use stevia in any of your products?
Well, stevia can only be used in the United States under the dietary supplement category.
Uh-huh.
So we do have them in some of our wellness line of teas,
mm-hmm.
but we have to label it as a dietary supplement,
Ah,
as it is right now.
You cannot officially call it a sweetener.
Correct.
Even though you put it on your tongue and it's very obvious what it's doing.
It is very sweet, isn't it?
Yes, yes. I've grown it in my garden here in Texas.
Oh, great.
And it grows fairly well. I've got it in full sun. It's a native to Paraguay, as I recall.
You know what? I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
Yeah, well, actually, I was hoping probably in the next quarter, next segment, if we don't get any callers, I had a couple notes I was going to mention about stevia as a sweetener as such. But mm-hmm. What do you recommend any particular type of sweetener with the teas?
We develop all of our teas when we do sweeten them with honey.
Okay.
So honey is our preferred sweetener.
Okay.
You know, obviously the main, you know, sweetener out there is sugar, refined sugar. Mm-hmm. And we actually use that in some of our, you know, iced tea blends, too. Like I was telling you yesterday, you can make variations of our herbal iced teas also by adding lemonade mm-hmm. or adding fruit juice or you know, whatever your listener may want to add just to give it a little bit of a variety and flavor.
Yes, which reminds me, if you tell us the secret secret recipe from the cafeteria at Celestial Seasonings you mentioned to me earlier.
Yes, we have a beverage in there called Zingerade, which is very, very popular. And it's made very similar to the way I spoke earlier about preparing the Zinger teas or an iced tea, herbal tea.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're going to add on top of after the tea bags have brewed with the 2 cups of water, you're going to finish that and top that off with lemonade instead. Instead of cold water.
Okay.
And so that gives it a nice zing and a nice variation. And my favorite is the Zingerade made with tangerine orange Zinger.
Ooh.
The lemon and the orange go together very well. It's very, very nice.
Sounds interesting. Well, so if our listeners want to whip up a batch of something that is in the secret vault of Celestial Seasonings,
right,
they can make some Zinger lemonade.
Right, and your listeners can also go into our website and find recipes there also.
Yes. I'm going to include some information on my newsletter that will be going out this coming week about the Cool Brew iced teas that are available through Celestial Seasonings. There's mm-hmm. some information on your website.
Yep.
So
yep.
People definitely want to take a look at that.
Yeah, Cool Brew is great because you don't have to boil the water. You just pour cold or cool water over the tea bags, and it'll create tea without the hot water brew.
Okay, well, that sounds like a great idea. Well, we have to take a break now, but I want to thank you so much for coming on, Charlie. We will definitely have to have you on again. I'm sure people will enjoy listening to the topics. And if you have any questions after the break, at 800-949-5973. Thanks a bunch, and talk to you soon. And welcome back to At Home with Herbs. This is Ann McCormick, the Herb and Cowgirl. And if you have a question about herbs, we've been talking today about summer beverages, but you can call 800-949-5973 if you have a question about the garden, about teas, about harvesting your herbs, or just about anything. We'll give it a try, and if I don't know the answer, I'll find out. So give us a call. But until we take some of those calls, I wanted to get back to A Sip of Summer. That's what we're talking about today. And I mentioned at the end of the conversation with Charles Baden from Celestial Seasonings, I talked to him about stevia. Now, stevia is an herb from Paraguay in South America. It is remarkably sweet. It does not add calories to food, but it adds sweetening to food. I have grown it in my garden here in Fort Worth, and it will grow about 2 to 3 feet high. It has strong stems that come up from the base and a kind of fleshy leaves, a kind of a light green, blue-green color, and the leaves are really, really sweet. This is something you can try growing in your garden, and you harvest it and use it to sweeten your teas, sweeten your beverages. There are parts of it can be then processed and made into a sugar-like substitute, but there's a lot of technicalities associated with that. And like as Charlie pointed out, you cannot sell stevia in the United States as a sweetener at this time. It's technically described as a dietary supplement, but you can add your dietary supplement to your herb tea anytime you want at home, and that won't be a problem. But stevia is one that you can grow in your garden. And just keep it in mind. I was told by someone who has traveled to Paraguay, which is where it is native and where it's been used for a long time, since before the Europeans showed up, that you can, when you buy beverages at stalls out in the street, they will have a stalk of stevia there, and if you want it sweetened, they will take the stevia and just swish it in the fruit juice and then hand it to you, and it's already sweetened without adding any sugar. So it's a great way of adding that flavor to our beverages without adding to our waistline. Well, we've been talking about herbal teas and making those into iced teas. I want to remind you that you can put herbs with fruit beverages that you have already, like apple juice, lemonade, fruit punch. You can give it a try adding some different herbs with that. One thing that we've mentioned here before, I think, is lemon balm lemonade. Lemon balm has a nice lemon flavor. You add concentrated lemon balm tea to lemonade, and it actually tends to smooth out the sometimes sharp taste of lemonade. You can use regular commercial lemonade, and this is how I would do it. Again, you take 2 cups of water and boil them, just like Charlie Badden when he was talking about making herbal iced tea. You take 2 cups of water and you boil it, and you take a good handful of lemon balm leaves. Make sure that they've been rinsed out and you haven't got any critters that have come in from your garden. You certainly don't want that in your tea. And just put that in the hot water and brew tea. Now, the fancy word for this brewing is an infusion. You're actually making an infusion of the herb. And the infusion can be then used either in a beverage for pleasure, which we're going to be doing with a lemonade, or if it was, for instance, another type of herb, that would be, the infusion could then be used in a medicine. But we're not talking medicinal right now. We're just talking for pleasure. So you'd make the herbal infusion from the lemon balm leaves. Then you'd strain the lemon balm leaves out. And then you'd include that tea with your commercial lemon juice. If you have a can of concentrated lemon juice, you just put that in your 2-quart container. And use the lemon balm concentrate, which you've just made, as part of the water that you add with the lemonade. And you've made lemon balm lemonade. Give it a try and try serving it to someone who isn't necessarily aware of what it is. I did that once to my writer's group. It was a hot summer evening and we were gathering together and I brought some lemon balm lemonade and some cups. I found some of the guys in the group went back for seconds and thirds because they thought it really tasted good. They were surprised. But lemon balm lemonade is a good one to make at this in the summer. Another one that it will surprise you is lavender lemonade. It's the same principle, but you use lavender buds instead of the lemon balm leaves. Now, if you want to use lavender in a beverage, don't use the lavender that you might find, say, in a craft store. That won't be as flavorful, and it probably hasn't been processed properly. It's not as pure as lavender buds that you would buy, say, in an herb store, which would have them packaged commercially for consumption. But you use lemon balm lavender buds just as you would with the lemon balm leaves to make the lavender lemonade. And that is really delicious. If you've ever been down to the Blanco Lavender Festival, which is in June, the weekend of June 14th, that's something that's available all over the place, all over the town square there. You can buy lavender lemonade, and it's surprisingly delicious. It's an unusual combination. I think we don't think about it, but when you put those two tastes together, you get a very tasty blend. So give that some thought. Try mint in your regular iced tea. If you have mint growing anywhere around the house, try using that in your teas. And if you have the peppermint tea, go ahead and use that. But then don't just stop with that. Try using something like the apple mint tea or the apple mint in your tea. That has, again, more of a fruity flavor, and you'll get a little bit of a difference there. So give that one a try. And when you're making any kind of fruit beverages, think about what herbs might possibly go in there. Probably the easiest would be to try the mint or the lemon-flavored herbs that you might have growing in your garden. The lemon balm is the lemon myrtle that he mentioned, or the lemon verbena, which is just a wonderful flavor, or even lemon grass, which is one that's used in Asian cooking. Well, we're just about out of time. We've just about got a little bit left to go, but I wanted to tell you about what's coming up next time. Next program, next Saturday, we're going to have basil extravaganza. We're going to talk about basil, the king of herbs. Going to have a guest come in, Kathy Slaughter from Gabriel Valley Farms. She's a professional grower, has been growing for a number of years in Central Texas. She's going to be giving us some tips on how to grow our basil here in the North Texas area. We'll be talking about growing basil, cooking basil, and some uses of basil that will surprise you. Well, it's been a good time. I've been having a good time here visiting with you all about A Sip of Summer and herbal teas, iced teas. It was great to have Charlie here. But remember, be sure and come back next week when we talk about basil, the king of herbs. I'll just finish up now with our studio engineer was Dustin Briscoe. Our call screener was Beverly Welch. Next week, as I said, we'll be talking about basil. Until then, this is Ann McCormick, the Urban Cowgirl, wishing you happy urban.